good. Okay, let's see if we can get all this stuff organized here. We are called the flexible group this morning. Yes. You know how much I love these things. I'm Pat Becker. I'm half of pastor today. Val is going to be... Let's get this thing going. Okay. Let's just talk into it. Hello there. He's going to go.
You want to know?
Okay. Isn't this nice? We're such a cooperative group. Oh, thank you. Now, just don't wave my arms too much. As you know, Pastor is at Synod Conference this morning. And Darwin is in the hospital this morning. And Joan Groh has died. So we are a very busy congregation at this time. And we need to be prayerful. So we need to pray for lots of things this morning. And Ron Hass is in the hospital also in the rest home. And Carol is here this morning, so please greet her. We have snowbirds that have returned this morning, which is wonderful. And no kidding. Oh, but it's going to get to be 70, so we will just, you know, put on that extra sweater there, Keith. But also, as you know, we have our, those of you that kind of know, we have our little game preserve in the back of our yard. We have about 7 or 8 deer that come. We have mommy turkey that kind of floats down through the woods. And we have a fox that comes. We haven't seen our 9 raccoons yet. But this morning, waddling up from the swamp, here comes Mommy and Daddy Duck. So we have this little menagerie that brings joy to our lives, and we hope that each of you find some joy in your life also amongst the sadness. We have Holy Communion today, and all those that believe that Jesus is your Savior, you are more than welcome. And please come forward. We have wine and grape juice. I think if you are gluten-free, we also have that, I think. Not sure, didn't check on that. Okay, we thank Val this morning for preaching the sermon. And we have a small choir, but we are joyous. And we will be singing with the voices this morning so that you'll notice that. Also, we need coffee servers. So there's that list by when you come through coffee. If you haven't served coffee this year, please check that out. This morning, we also have a celebration this morning with Irene's birthday. 96. So please... Everyone, join us for coffee and birthday cake there. And happy birthday to you, Irene. Yes. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts this morning, so that we can hear you speaking to us. We ask your guidance on the Synod Conference that's going on. We ask your guidance on the family of Joan Groh, George Ott, Darwin Braithwaite, Ron Hass, and all those others that we name in our heart. We thank you for being our Heavenly Father. And we thank you especially for giving us the joy that comes with with having faith in you. Bless this service this day and watch over each and every one that is gathered here this morning. Send your Holy Spirit as we worship, we sing, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, we sing Day by Day, number 790. Please turn to page 1 of your bulletin for the confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Bountiful God, you gather your people into your realm, and you promise us food from your tree of life. Nourish us with your word, that empowered by your Spirit, we may love one another and the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's reading is from Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. A vision compels Paul to move his ministry into Greece. There he meets Lydia, an important person in the business community, whose heart has been opened by God to receive the gospel. Her conversion and baptism provide the impetus for the founding of the church at Philippi. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace the following day to Neapolis and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the gate by the river where we supposed there was a certain place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The psalm today is Psalm 67. Please respond in the bold print. Where you see the bold R, use the response, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy." May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us.
Let your way be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations on earth. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has brought forth its increase. God, our own God, has blessed us.
May God give the blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel today is found in John, the 14th chapter. As Jesus talks of returning to the Father, he promises to send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will teach Jesus' followers and remind them of all that Jesus taught. Even more, those in whom God makes a home will experience a peace that overcomes fear. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I am. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." Here ends the gospel. There's an insert into the bulletin for the old rugged cross, and we will sing.
Thank you.
Good morning. On this beautiful day in May, Irene Long Day, I think it's, well, you know, I was born in this community, and I've been back and forth to Bethesda all my life. So like Pastor says, I can testify, I can witness that Irene Long has always made everyone who walked through the doors of Bethesda feel like they were being welcomed home. So I think it's fitting today that in our gospel, Jesus talks about how he and his Father want to come into our hearts and make our hearts their home. You know, during his three-year ministry, Christ once said that the Son of Man had nowhere on earth to lay his head. But home and houses were important to him. His earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter, and he taught Jesus how to build things. And Jesus often used builder's terminology. He once said, "Make sure you have what it takes to finish the project before you start building." And Jesus knew you had to lay a foundation on what? Rock, not shifting sand. And he tells us that in his Father's house are many rooms. In my Father's heaven are many mansions. And Jesus said, he's going ahead of us, and he's going to build each of us a mansion in heaven, custom made just for us. And the Bible tells us it's beyond our imagination, the beauty of that place. But more than all that, Jesus was interested in the inside of houses. Ultimately, he's a builder of relationships. He knows it's what goes on between people in a house that make it a home. It makes or breaks a home. And he's truly interested in the interpersonal relationships between people in a family. You know, the Almighty God could have chose to come to this planet any way he wanted, but he chose to come as a human baby, as a member of a family. He chose all the joy and wonder that goes along with being a member of a family, all the fuss and muss, if you will, all the bless and mess that goes along with being a member of a human family. You know, those of us who are blessed to be raised as Christians, we grow up hearing the nativity story every year. And I think it's sad that sometimes we've heard it so much that we tend to become desensitized to the Christmas story and what actually took place that night. You know, the Holy Family becomes this Hallmark cutout people on your Christmas card, sitting by the manger with these serene, expressionless faces with halos over their heads. And even the animals have halos over their heads. They got their hands folded in prayer like, "It's all good tonight, God." And it's like, you know what? I don't think it was all good for them that night. I mean, you got to remember Joseph. Joseph is fresh off the hurt of thinking that the woman he loved more than anything in the world had been unfaithful to him. And then he had been swung over to the dizzying realization brought to him by an angel of God in a dream that, yes, she was faithful to him and that the child she was carrying was the Messiah. And then you have Mary, who had probably just been terrified because she was in real danger of the threat of being stoned to death by her religious community for adultery. And then she's swung over to the dizzying realization that she's safe, that she can depend on Joseph, the man she loves more than anything in the world, to stand by her and protect her and the child she's carrying. And then you have for both of them that bone-chilling, exhausting journey to Bethlehem. Not just the last stages of her pregnancy, but the last days of her pregnancy. And can you imagine how frustrating it must have been for Joseph? Joseph the carpenter, that night of all nights, he couldn't even provide a decent shelter for his wife and the child about to be born. And how scared Mary must have been, just a young girl giving birth in a town full of strangers in this rough and ready, tumble-down, cold stable full of animals. And I think maybe, in my opinion, maybe it was just God's way of teaching them that they had to let go and let God, that he was going to be the focus of this family. He was going to be the heart of this home. and that no matter how crazy his plan seemed to them, from here on in, they had to just trust him. And they did. And that night they were rewarded with armies of angels singing and shepherds kneeling and wise men bringing precious gifts. And after that, the Bible falls strangely silent about their everyday life as a family. We know they were a good, God-fearing family because the man Jesus grew up to be is evidence of that. And we can infer that they were a quote-unquote normal family from one story, once they lost sight of their 12-year-old son Jesus. And like any family today who loses sight of a child in Walmart or the grocery store or at the beach, they freaked out. In a panic, they rushed to find him, and when they found him, they confronted him. And 12-year-old Jesus is not sure what all the hullabaloo is about. He just was in the temple where he lost track of time. And maybe because when he was in the temple, he felt so at home there. The Bible's full of little ironic twists, and I think it's ironic that Jesus once said he would be a sword that would divide families, because with his coming from now on, families are made up of both believers and non-believers. But this same Jesus, when he walked the earth, he never missed an opportunity to heal a family. When the widow of Nain was grieving over her dead son, Jesus was so heartbroken for her, he stopped the funeral procession in its tracks in the middle of the street, raised the boy from the dead, and gave him back to his mother. And you all remember the story of little girl, wake up. The little 12-year-old girl who had died, and Jesus raised her from the dead and reunited her with her parents. And of course, Lazarus, his dear friend, whom he resurrected and gave back to his sisters, Mary and Martha. And in his best known, probably best known, and best loved parable, Jesus talks about the healing of a broken family, a family who had a prodigal son. And Jesus tells us how God rejoices when somebody comes back to the church family, and how we as other members of the family should or shouldn't react when that person comes home to the fold. Jesus created a church family. In the reading today, when Lydia was baptized, it wasn't just Lydia, if you heard, Lydia and her whole household. And over again in the New Testament, it says, today salvation has come to this whole house. Today this house has been saved. We're a church, but first, mostly, we're a family. Here we have to love and support and nurture each other. We have to be brave enough to give tough love if it's needed. We have to be tough enough to take it when it's dished out. We always have to focus on building our relationships. And like Mary and Joseph, we don't have to do this alone. We have Emmanuel. Jesus is with us. Jesus and his Father, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, want to live in our hearts. They want to make our lives abundant. They want to shine through us and light a path for other people who are maybe lost and desperately searching for the way home. One of my favorite parts of Scripture is when Andrew and John, the disciples, first meet Jesus as the Messiah. Scholars, of which I am not, scholars say that John was probably some kind of cousin of Jesus, and I've never really got a grasp on how close that relationship was or how much time they really knew each other growing up. It's obvious, though, from Scripture that Andrew and John had already heard and spoken with Jesus before he appears on the lake shore to call them. And when he does finally come down to the water and says, come on, boys, it's time, it's obvious they've been praying for that call and waiting for that call. Pick me, because they're out of those boats in a flash. But the first time Andrew and John meet Jesus, they're actually hanging out with someone else and listening to someone else. They are with John the Baptist. And one day John the Baptist is standing with John and Andrew when Jesus walks by. And I think John the Baptist felt the call of the Holy Spirit that day, because he said to them, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the two of them left the company of John the Baptist and followed Jesus. And they're literally following Jesus to the village. And you can just almost see Jesus turning around. The Bible says Jesus notices them following him. And he finally turns around and he asks them a question. Jesus says to them, "What is it you're looking for?" Jesus says, "What is it you want here?" And in that moment, when they could have asked for anything, any sign, any favor, they dug a little bit deeper and they asked the right question. They said, "Rabbi, show us where you dwell. Teacher, we want to see where you live." And Jesus said, "Okay, come on then." And the Bible says they spent that whole first day with him. And Jesus spent the next 3 years with his disciples showing them where he dwelled. And today, John the Beloved shares in the gospel that information with us. Jesus dwells in our hearts and wants to make it his home. And I think every day we need to get up and invite him back in all over again, make it brand new, clean it up, a home that's fit for him to live in. We need to get on with his work, building our relationship with him and with each other and with the rest of the world out there. Because sometimes I think time is shorter than we realize. And with that, I would like to take this opportunity to say about time, next week is Mother's Day. Thanks for life, Mom. I don't often take the time to say how proud I am of you and how blessed I am to have you for a mother. I love you very much. And I want to thank all the women of this congregation because you are a shining example of Jesus Christ to me. And Irene Long. Irene, not only happy birthday, not only happy Mother's Day, but thank you on behalf of this congregation so much. You are an inspiration. You are an encouragement. You're hope personified. You're a healing presence in this congregation. You are our congregational mom, and we are so glad that you share your life and your faith with us. There's no doubt that Christ lives in your heart. And for those of you who don't know, Irene is also a fisherman. You know, Jesus' earthly dad taught him to build, his heavenly dad taught him to fish, but I think that's next week's sermon, if the ice goes out of the water. In closing, pray for Irene today and her family. A blessing, blessing, blessings down on their heads. Pray for all moms in the world who are struggling so hard to raise their families in this world today. It is not an easy task. The church family that it's blessed, our church family, the whole family of man, that God gives us his peace, not as the world gives peace, but as he alone can give peace. And may the peace that passes all understanding be in our hearts and minds and lives forever. From this day forward, amen. Have a blessed Sunday.
Amen. Please rise. Let us turn to page 3 and let us pray together the offertory prayer. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings as you have raised us to new life in Christ. Give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Rejoicing with all the witnesses of the resurrection, let us pray in confidence for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Let us have a few minutes of silent prayer. Send your Holy Spirit to teach and remind us of the ways of your love. Shape the church by your word and guide the proclamation of your grace for the sake of the whole world. Hear us, O God. Reveal to us the splendor of creation and inspire gratitude in our hearts for the yield of the earth. Show us your ways of abundance and healing for the sake of our world. Hear us, O God. Guide judges, magistrates, and juries to deliberate with equity and fairness. Be the hope and inspiration of all who are imprisoned or detained. And hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Relieve the fears and troubles of those who suffer. Grant shelter to the homeless, assistance to those in any need, and healing to the sick. And especially this morning, dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on Darwin and Janine, on Ron and Carol, on George Ott, on Ruth Hammond. We ask your blessing on all those that suffer, that are homeless, and that need your healing care. Hear us, O God. Inspire the community by the enthusiasm and joy of the newly baptized. Enliven this congregation by stories of conversion and transformation in the gospel. And hear us, O God. This morning we also pray for the family of Joan Groth. She was our sister and continues to reside in our memory. We ask your healing hand on them this morning. Guide them in their sorrow. Help them to remember that you walk beside us through the valley of death, that you are our God, and that you do bring us hope and faith and joy. Shelter us in the shade of the tree of life, granting refreshment and healing in your weariness and despair. Strengthen our faith with the witness of all the saints, and join our voices together in the song of praise that never ends. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In resurrection hope, we commend to you all for whom we pray, trusting in the promise of new life through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior.
Amen.
We will say the Nicene Creed together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified, Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and on the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. And he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us pray the prayer after communion. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord's face shine upon us with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.